While you are free to blow my chichu whistle, keep your hands off my wasabi.
Okay.
That's right. That's how it rolls when it's a hot one between the Sharks and the Flames. Welcome to Teal Town, USA. I don't want to say after dark because I guess this is probably more like Teal Town, USA in the daytime. Afternoon. Yeah, afternoon. That, see, even better. It was a great one today, kids. 5-1 victory, Sharks over Flames. Do us a favor, though. Subscribe. Join the interaction, shall you? TealTownUSA.com is the website. Follow us on our media channels, if you will. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud. And always subscribe to the YouTube page. We do this after every Sharks game. So with that, how you guys doing? I mean, it was a good one today, boys and ladies watching. Sharks get a 5-1 victory in this one. With me, Alex Martinet. How did you enjoy this one, sir? What's going on today?
Pretty good, pretty good. I missed some of the first period. I was participating in the March for Life. That was just a block or two away from the SAP Center. But the second period is where things kind of were developing the most. You know, I thought Evander Kane had another great game against the Calgary Flames. I don't know if he has just a vendetta against that team or something. But for the most part, I thought Martin Jones perhaps had his best game of the season with 3 or 4 consecutive great saves in the second period.
Yeah, some very good ones. There was a bit of monkey business going on. That's why I'm rocking Barrel of Monkeys today. Local guys, Devil's Canyon. Shout out to them. Rocket, your just initial thoughts before we deep dive.
Calgary Flames lost this game for themselves. The goaltending was great on both sides. Oh, no, it wasn't. Martin Jones was probably the number one star for the San Jose Sharks today. And hot damn, it's raining from coast to coast.
Oh, boy. And just checking out a couple post-game shots here. Looks like Brendan Dillon took a nice little shot off the schnoz there. Looks like it could get any bigger, but it looks a little bigger. Looks a little swollen.
It's a bit inflamed. Yeah, it's. But I mean, if you notice, he's had that constant scab across the top of his nose where his visor comes down and hits him like all season. So
yeah,
I still love the guy. Whatever.
Well, speaking of Brendan Dillon, let's get into it. Brendan Dillon would start off this scoring escapade, shall we? 7:52 of the first from Tierney and Meyer. I mean, great. It was a great shot. Nice little kind of just a little bit of a snipe, I would say, actually. I mean, Rocket, your boy, what did you like from that first period and Dillon starting things off?
I guess it's one of those games where the Calgary Flames have done their homework on certain players and just sort of skipped complete chapters on other players, Brendan Dillon being one of the players that they skipped, which is weird because Dillon's had a lot of defensive moments and a lot of offensive production in the last couple of games. And I think the Flames probably did themselves a huge disservice by sleeping on him. And like, I don't know why Calgary came into this game just a little bit too emotional and not focused enough. I don't think you give Dillon some room. He's going to slap a wrister in there. Sorry. Just flick a wrister in there. And there he's back in the net. 1-0 Sharks.
Absolutely. And Alex, I know you had talked about this just before we went live. What is the trend now for Calgary at this point?
They lost the last 4 of the last 5 games by 4 goals each. And this team is just going in the wrong direction. I mean, when you lose against the Coyotes 5-2, Coyotes.
Mean the Desert Dogs?
I was waiting for somebody to say it. Thank you.
I'm going to say Coyotes for a reason. But you know, even like people in the press in Canada is starting to get wondering why things are going downhill. And I can't blame him. If it wasn't for the Oilers, who've been one of the most disappointing teams, you have to think the Calgary Flames are even probably the most disappointing team right up there.
I would totally agree. I had them making the playoffs this season. I'm shocked by what has happened. But then again, I had Edmonton making the playoffs. There's something in the water in Western Canada. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, I had Calgary leading the Pacific. I thought they had enough talent. I thought it might mature enough. And
That I mean, they have Johnny Gaudreau, for Pete's sake. Johnny Hockey and Matt Tkachuk, who's really good at getting under people's skin. They got another couple of guys in there. But they lost a couple of key players, and they're out for the rest of the season.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just the coaching. I mean, I don't like not this game, but there have been a number of times when I've watched their games, and like they don't pull the goalie, or if they see like the momentum's going the wrong way, they won't switch out the goaltenders. It just seems like maybe the coach is not the right fit for that personnel, and it wouldn't surprise me if we get two coaches fired in the Canada region.
No, I don't think T-Mac's going anywhere.
I'm gonna preach that until it's happening.
Right? You know how long Sharks fans had to preach to get rid of T-Mac before he finally left?
Since the day he was hired.
Wow.
I don't know about that. No, I remember the days of everybody wanting Wilson's head on his
big bats.
Yeah, whatever. I remember that.
Yeah. So anyway, finishing out the first period, Yannick Hansen would net his second. And
what
is this? Yeah. Like all of a sudden Hansen's heating up? Really? I mean, this is his second goal in what, 2-3 games?
It's not Hansen. It's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It might very well be.
It was just the tip.
Just the tip from Burns and Gaudreau at 9:06, so just a minute later. So Sharks kind of piling on at that point, just a scotch. But Michael Stone from Ferland and Stewart would get one back for Calgary at 12:17 of the first. Thoughts on the first overall. I'm going to go to Rocket on this, obviously, because I know Alex was unavailable. So, I mean, just thoughts on the first. Did you like the way the Sharks came out? I mean, obviously getting those first two goals in the first half of the first period.
Okay. 100% confession here. I had to go to Home Depot to buy some insecticide because I have fungus gnats in my house plants. And they're disgusting and they're awful. So I missed the first 4 or 5 minutes of the first period because I was driving home from getting fungus gnat stuff. If it wasn't fungus gnat stuff, I would have stayed. But these things are horrible. Anyway, so now you know what I was doing. So I actually didn't see the Dylan goal. I heard it. I heard Rusinowski call it, but I was actually in the house. So I had just turned on the television, hadn't gotten the stream up yet. I did get to see the Hansen goal. And when I saw it hit the back of the net, my jaw dropped. I was like, what? And I kind of felt like this is going to be an Oprah game again, isn't it? And sure enough, it was. You get a goal, and you get a goal, and you get a goal.
I will say from the replay from Dylan's goal, it was all basically set up from Tierney. Mm-hmm. And he is going to get paid in the offseason, if there's any doubt.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tierney and Hurdle both just are cha-ching. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be a lot of show me the money come this offseason. In the second period, things got a little interesting. Even though there was only one goal from Evander Kane with a great pass from Tierney. And this is a great one because shorthanded goal right in the middle of the second at 8:26. But this shorthanded goal is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Tierney and Kane come down basically 2-on-1. And I forget the first guy who was in. I don't know if it was Hamilton or not, but the first Flame goes right by. Then Tierney and Kane adjust for just a hot minute. And then Johnny Gaudreau goes right through. And it was very much just all of a sudden Top Gun popped in my head was like, hey, I'm going to hit the brakes. They're going to go right by us. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And that had to have been the easiest shorthanded goal Evander Kane has or ever will score in his life, Rocket.
I agree. That was a lot of fun to watch those two set that up. I concur with you on the Top Gun analogy because you don't get to see that very often, especially shorthanded like that, where it was 2-on-1 and they literally just hit the brakes, passed, and then straight into the net. It was glorious. I think by that time, Calgary had long since been in their own heads way too much to stay focused on the actual game and their opponent. Like they've been beating themselves, man. If you're losing by 4 goals for the last 4 games, that's you. That's not the other person or the other team.
Absolutely. Alex? Yeah.
I mean, I thought Calgary today had decent goaltending. There was one save off LeBanc that I thought Riddick did a great job positioning. He went straight into his glove, and they're nervous for rebound control. It's just with Calgary, they don't have enough great forward depth. And to Rocket's point, the injuries have just hurt Calgary to the point where it's been taking them out of the playoffs. And I don't know how much of that is due to coaching, but like, it's just surprising that with two or three injuries, unlike the Sharks, like, they haven't rebounded. And, you know, I think Peter DeBoer should probably get runner-up honors, but it's going to be the Vegas Golden Knights coach for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost a lock at this point.
Pretty bad. Like, dude, the engraving's been done, dude.
I mean, the only person I would say who's eligible or even, like, runner-up is probably the Nashville Predators, but, like, that team was already a Stanley Cup final contender, so it's like...
Well, I mean, you know, Western Conference reigning champs, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving into the third, though, offensive powerhouse Justin Braun would net his fourth of the season to obviously, there must have been a bet going between Dylan and Braun or something, because Dylan got his fourth. All of a sudden, Braun's like, uh-oh, I'm going to lose. Better pot one, so we tie it up.
What do you think the bet was? Whoever lost had to buy a Brody Brazil jersey?
Ooh. Oh, probably. But Bronner scores from Couture and Carlson at 10:09, and this was an absolute snipe shot. I mean, when was the last time you saw Braun come in, like, essentially on a breakaway and snipe one? Yes. Red, yes, I can see all of your hands that are raising, saying never. We've never seen that before. then Evander Kane will put the cherry on the sundae from Pavelski and Dylan at 12:10 of the third. Let's just also point out Dylan getting the Gordie Howe hat trick. Evander Kane coming this close to getting the Gordie Howe hat trick. But let's just talk about that fight for a second. I mean, Dylan got off some fantastic uppercuts to begin with. Just, I'm sorry, I'm wearing the teal glasses. Dylan won this one, and as long as for my bet slip says, yeah, it was Dylan.
Oh, but it was Dylan.
Overall, I thought the Flames today was an awful lot of frustration / douchebaggery. I mean, you saw Backlund cross-check, Carlson, I believe. I think it was Giordano who did it. It was Backlund that cross-checked Tierney and didn't even get called for it. And then Hamilton, there was a play where Meyer basically dove in center ice trying to get a puck, and as he's getting up, Hamilton skating back the other way, glances him. Then he tries to get Pavelski to go. I mean, just an awful lot of, again, frustration / a lot of douchebaggery in this one.
I think it's more generally just frustration and lack of discipline. Let's put it that way. Because if you look at it, like I said, Calgary was already in their own heads. They clearly remembered the ass whooping that the San Jose Sharks had given them in the previous matchup. And they wanted to... I don't know if they wanted to extract their revenge or if they just wanted to put the hurt on them and make them pay for it physically, but neither one of those plans panned out. I think that Calgary was way too focused on, like, that whole grudge match revenge thing than they were actually winning the game. I think that's probably what hurt them the most in this, was just not focusing on playing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Rocket. Calgary has 80 points and... Yeah, has 80 points, and they are 10 points behind Colorado for a wild card spot.
Whoa, sorry, I was not at... Woo.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, they are 10 points behind a wild card spot, and I don't know how many games are left, but it would take a miracle at this point for them to be a playoff contender at this point. And I would say the only teams I would consider for a playoff spot is Dallas and St. Louis. Give St. Louis a ton of credit for trading away one of their captains, but those are the only two I would consider. But frankly, they are practically limited at this point.
Let's just go over a few of the stats here. I'm not going to break my drum out because, again, and I mentioned this last time, you can't break out the power play drum when the Sharks keep winning. So 0-3 tonight, and hopefully that comes around. Well, yeah, you probably can. But kept the Flames 0-4. But there was, and this is something that Brody brought up at one point, and I completely agree with them, is that those stats for tonight are a little bit misleading. You had at one point some truncated power plays in there. I do wish they would switch that stat to time on the power play versus just saying 0-3, because could very well go on a power play, it lasts 15 seconds, then you take a penalty and it evens, and it still goes down as an over. So they need to change that.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, they need to change that stat up. But 40 hits tonight for the Flames versus 14. Tell me the Flames aren't a little frustrated. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to hit the other team when you don't have the puck. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but even how, what was the shot differential in the second period? Like something, the Flames led in shots in the second period, but at some point, I know that the Sharks had scored and they had only had two shots on goal. So, I mean,
shot differential in the second was Calgary 17, San Jose 14.
Yeah, like, see, it's San Jose, even though they had the puck for most of the time, they weren't taking as many shots as Calgary was, but shots don't equal high-scoring chances. And I learned this one in my first years of being a hockey fan. So Calgary is making all the shots, but they're making all the easy shots, you know? Like, they're making lemon drops and fuzzy navels. They're not making the fancy shots that you have to put in the shaker and add, like, the mint julep to and everything. No, they're not doing those kinds of shots. No jello shots for them.
Right. Fate in the circle, almost even, 52-49 in favor of the Sharks. Shots on goal, 38-33 in favor of the Flames. So that's somewhat even. But let's just talk about a couple of the funny things as well that happened in this game. So Yannick Hansen gets his second goal. And like I said, what I want to say, when did he score his first one of the season? Was that New Jersey?
That was New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, so his second goal in three games, and he only gets 9 minutes of ice time tonight. he's at the bottom of the barrel, even though he gets a goal. One giveaway, two takeaways, two shots on goal. I just find that funny for some reason. But at the bottom, holding up the totem pole for time on ice tonight, Eric Fair with 8:28. But then again, this is a guy who almost like didn't make the game because he injured his own face from a puck that he shot bouncing off the iron, hitting him back in the grill.
What are the odds?
Who does that, honestly?
Right?
Life hits you back.
Oh, man. That seriously.
This is not fair.
Come on. Where is it? I have it. Hold on. And come on. Here we go. I had to do it. The next time she pulls one of those.
Fuck, bro.
That's what it's going to be. But that's how. But other than that, you look at the time on ice. None of the forwards cracked 20 minutes. In fact, I'm looking out here. None of the forward. The only forward that cracked 8. Now, figure this one. The only forward to crack 18 minutes tonight was Kane, and he spent 11 minutes in the box. Dude, you're a badass hockey player if you've got 11 minutes in the box and you still lead the forwards in time on ice.
That's pretty good if everything is fairly distributed evenly. I mean, that means that they're not having to bench the fourth line the entire third period, which is...
Was that another Fair reference? I just
assumed. Negative. Oh, okay. It wasn't. No, I mean, that seems fairly balanced. You know what I mean? And that's not a, no, it's not that.
I hope you fairly use your soundboard.
It's reasonably balanced.
There you go.
Oh, God, I hate you. Let me pull up my fucking thesaurus. It's reasonably balanced when you have time on ice that's even across the board. Like I said, you don't have to bench the entire fourth line because they suck. They're a detriment to the society that you're trying to put out on the ice. And they're a menace to themselves. Keep them on the bench. No, I'm glad because that whole imbalance of, you know, you'd see like two lines get a ridiculous amount of minutes and then they just bench the entire fourth line for the third period. That was the Sharks a couple months ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's nice that it's not them anymore.
Yeah. Defense, I thought, played a good game tonight. The one name that you didn't hear tonight at all, and maybe it was just me, I didn't hear Vlasic's name mentioned like once tonight.
Not once, no.
Yeah.
I mean, even though 22 minutes. I mean, second on ice time for the defensive guys. That was, to me though, it's almost the same as kind of like the refs. Like if you don't hear your name, you're probably doing what you're supposed
to do. Exactly. I mean, that's classic Vlasic.
Yeah.
He's the shutdown defenseman. He's a defenseman's defenseman. And those kinds of plays and those kinds of minds don't generally get called out too much. But yeah, I agree that he's a pillar of this damn team.
And can we talk about one Mr. Martin Jones in this? I mean, stopping 30 of 31, 974 save percentage. Dude is getting better. Is it just me or it feels like, and the fact that Thornton is out, Donskoy out, Ward out, like, and not that Ward is like a huge piece, but Thornton and Donskoy clearly are. But the Sharks clearly playing their best hockey. Is this the longest winning streak they've had? I think it is.
This is a 7-game win streak, and I bet you it probably is.
For the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, Sharks playing their best hockey, and hello, I mean, you've got Chicago coming up next. That I'm assuming that Dell is going to get that start because they play in St. Louis the next night. I mean, we do this 4-game roadie. This 4-game roadie is going to be quite significant because after St. Louis, then it's Nashville, then Vegas.
I would say Dell gets Chicago and then Jones plays against St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And if the Sharks win against the Blues, I think that locks up a playoff spot. If worst comes to worst, we can slide into a wild card. But
well, Eric pointed out that the magic number right now is 9. So it's that combination. So I think it'll depend. I'm betting that Dell starts versus Chicago.
But do you think Dell's going to start for Nashville again?
Do you want to
I think Dell will start Chicago. And then I think the following week he'll start versus Colorado.
I think
he gets 2 starts between now and the end of the season.
I don't know about that. I think Dell starts against Nashville. Jones gets Vegas.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
That way you split it up.
I think that they're going to put Dell in against Nashville again.
Rob Iman in the chat saying Bobo gets the start in Nashville.
Sure. Why not?
At this point. Bring him in.
It's a good testing ground for San Jose goalies, apparently.
And then if worse comes to worse, Jones gets Dallas because if Dallas gets a 4-game win streak, but I think they're out of it.
Yeah. I hope so.
They should never have traded away Annie Niemi.
Yep. The heart and
soul. And Brendan Dillon.
The heart and soul of Dallas.
Cool with that.
You never trade a Vezina-worthy candidate.
Or the defenseman that's standing in front of him.
Again, running down the line here, there wasn't. I don't know. It just feels like they're coming together at the right time because we are seeing, as Rocket coined, and this might be a trademark that we have to look into. It was another Oprah game, and the fact of the matter is, we're talking about when we say an Oprah game. It's not the case where it's the usual suspects, where when it's a 5-1 win, it's not Couture with 2, Burns with 1, Thornton with 1, Hurdle with 1, Pavelski with 1. It's, we're seeing guys like, Hansen and Fair or Goodrow, Dillon. Braun, So you look at it tonight, aside from Kane, that's the whole thing, a 5-1 win. If you take both of Kane's goals out of this, and Hansen, hello, had the game-winning goal tonight. But I mean, Dillon, Hansen, and Braun tonight. When was the last time you saw those three guys score in a victory? I mean, I just hope that this is coming together at the right time. I was not that optimistic a couple weeks ago, as if you go back and listen to an episode of the Pucknologist, they can easily attest. Because I asked both Rocket and Jerk, are the Sharks in the playoffs? Yes, I am unsure, but now I am sure.
And ye of little faith.
I'm telling you, I was a little nervous there for a hot minute, but I feel better about it now. Anything else more about this game before we...
I guess, let me ask, if the Sharks didn't get Evander Kane, do you think the Sharks make the playoffs?
No.
I mean, if you also pour on the Donskoy injury and stuff like that, then I don't know.
Because I thought the Sharks could have been a wild card, but not a division leader.
Yeah.
And right now, the Sharks are what, 10-2 since the Kane acquisition?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you kidding? This is like, could you imagine if they won the Stanley Cup? I mean, just imagine it for a second that the Sharks won the Cup this year. Dude, you think Hurdle and Tierney are going to get, Kane is just going to get a Brinks truck backed up to his house.
He's going to have two money phones, one for each ear. Put me on speed dial.
Oh, man. No, that's going to be like a money intercom system. It's always going to be
a spaceship made out of $1,000 bills.
You kind of have to look at how Buffalo used Kane and see if what they did wrong with him and see if there's anything
around him with talent.
I think there was talent in Buffalo. I think there was just not a good locker room there.
I don't know if it's a locker room so much as just the system. I think DeBoer's system is vastly different than whoever the coach is in Buffalo. I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but I don't really follow East Coast hockey that much. I'm sorry. But Evander Kane is a great fit for the system that Pete DeBoer puts on the ice. Pete likes to make sure Evander Kane parks in front of the net, and that's, you know, it kind of takes the pressure off of Joe Pavelski to always be the guy in front of the net. Yep. And I think a lot of the other coaching staff, when they're in their meeting and they're talking about how to best the Sharks, they talk about, you know, keeping an eye on Joe Pavelski and tying him up because in front of the net, he's dangerous because he's, you know, he's pokey. He tips everything in. And now all of a sudden you've got Evander Kane, who's a big body. He's speedy. He's tough to get off the puck. And he tips stuff in almost as well. Okay, he doesn't, not as well as Joe Pavelski, but he's just as capable of tipping stuff in, yeah, in that position. So I think to double up that position in Pete DeBoer's system with Evander Kane was a great idea. Finally, Doug, you did something right.
Wow.
He's done plenty of things right.
Yeah, I mean, and look, the thing that's getting lost in all this is the Eric Fehr acquisition. He's helped solidify that fourth line, and that fourth line has been a lot more reliable. And again, you go and you look at time on ice, that line is getting more ice time. Clearly, DeBoer having a lot more confidence in that group.
That is a more than fair assessment.
Yep. That's a perfectly fair question to ask. I'm sorry. Oh,
dear Lord. I'm gonna wear out the button on that one.
That's a fair drumbeat.
No, stop. Stop. And do we even expect Jumbo back for the playoffs?
No. Yeah, you know what? I don't even, if he's just there to hold the door and get a cup of coffee with moral support, I know he wants to be there for the guys. And I think if somebody goes down with an injury, if they could put him in, you know, that's great. But this team obviously doesn't need him to be worthy of first round. And also I think, oh God, and I know some people are going to hate me and some people are going to be like, yes, but leaving Joel Ward out is sort of addition by subtraction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless Joel. He's an amazing player. But with the speed that Evander Kane and Eric Fehr bring to the system, I just don't know if there's enough room for him.
That's the point, is that Eric Fehr is playing like what I think they expected Joel Ward to be for that fourth line.
And Hansen, even though he hasn't been, offensively super productive, well, until recently, he's got the speed. You have to give him that much.
I mean, the power play numbers are up because of Joe Thornton's injury. I don't want to say that's the case, but like, once you start moving the puck from left to right, not just keep it in one corner, it's much harder for the defense to know what's going on.
Yes.
Oh, and also he shoots the puck. That also helps.
I think Vancouver would throw a 1-year deal at Thornton to help keep the door open and close at the right time for Brock Besser next year.
I still think Joe Thornton's going to come back next year because it can be a more of a celebration of his career with the All-Star weekend. Yeah. Else. Yeah. But like, I thought if he doesn't come back during the playoffs if you don't see him skating in the next 2 weeks or even the next week.
Well, he is skating, but it's to me, it's when are you going to see him cutting and you
it's know, jogging at this point.
Yeah, making hockey moves. But yeah. I don't think, yeah, I just, and I said this you know, the night that it happened, I was saying that. That's why I still have my paper ticket from that game. You never know.
That was such a rough night. That was a sad night.
It was.
You can blame Blocker if you want.
I know. Quirky things. As much as I love to blame him for like everything, I mean, quirky things happen.
Go ahead. You're perfectly fine to do so.
Yeah. Okay. God damn it, Parker. What the hell is your problem?
Moving on.
Yeah. I'm just going to hold on to a second. Just okay. Because if you think about Bucker, where the hell's that guy been recently?
How about Scoring? Hurdle? How about that one?
Hurdle is, yeah, he's been a little bit off. Oh my God, NHL.com. I hate you so much right now. I just want to punch you. I want to throat punch you right now.
Did it just redirect you to an Amway website? Because no, it's weird to me.
No, it's just that it was offering just like next to no information there for a hot second. But now everything seems to have loaded. I was ready to my impression of I don't even want to do it. But I was going to say, my impression of NHL.com. That was pretty much it. I think we've kind of beat this game into the ground. It was a just fantastic victory. Again, continuing the streak. Great way to, I mean, sweep this. You go into Western Canada, sweep. Come home for a three-game series, sweep. In that sweep, you also beat the team that you had not beaten yet in Las Vegas.
Right.
So, great way to go out on this four-game roadie. So, with that, we'll move on to the wraparound.
Bend over and grab your ankles, boys. It's time for the NHL reach around.
Now, obviously, this is Teal Town, USA, afternoon, not after dark. So, really only one game to discuss.
But oh, what an outcome.
Yeah, 2-1. Avs over the Knights in a shootout.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So there you go. What is it? Varlamov gets a victory over Flower, who has returned from his concussion. So, hey, Colorado, thanks for helping us out. And if you could help us out again on April 5th, really appreciate that. Games going on right now in the league. 0-0 Red Wings. Excuse me. Elmer Fudd syndrome strikes again. Leafs Wings 0-0. Leafs going on the power play right now. Montreal Canadiens up 2-0 over Washington. Senators and Hurricanes are tied with 9 left in the first. Oh, Bobby Ryan scored in that? Well, for that one guy who has him in fantasy, good for you. Coyotes and Panthers knotted at nothing with 8:30 left in the first. Devils and Lightning knotted at nothing. 5-4. There's a lot of nothing game. 5 minutes left in a scoreless Blackhawks Islanders game. 7.5 left in a scoreless Rangers Buffalo game. The Blues are on the power play, yet are already up 1-0 over the Blue Jackets. Shots on goal, 10 for the BJs, only 3 for the Blues. So quality over quantity, kids. Later tonight, Preds versus Wild. That should be a very good game, but a game of a scotch more importance this evening at 7 o'clock, Kings at Oilers. So find your illegal feeds to watch that one, kids, if you're out of market.
If you're curious about where you can get your legal feeds, you can at me. Follow me at rbackhander76 on Twitter, and I will hook you up.
Oh, my God. I didn't even realize what a great idea that is to get follows. I have to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
So, hockey standings right now, and this is usually the time when, like, Rocket brings out the if the playoffs ended today.
Which I have just pulled up right now. So, if you'd like to
Hey, now.
I can share my screen.
Okay, so if you want to play a brief round of if the playoffs started today, we'll start with the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay would see New Jersey. Boston would play Toronto. The Capitals versus the Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins, and Columbus Blue Jackets in the hunt. Florida, Carolina, and New York Rangers trailing New Jersey by 12 points. Then over in the Western Conference, Vegas at Colorado. Should be Vegas versus Colorado. The first game, Colorado 0, Vegas 7. The second game, Vegas 1, Colorado 2. They still have another game on Monday. So we'll see how that goes. It's going to be really interesting. That might actually be like the grudge match of the first round. You never know. Current matchup. Boring matchup of all boring matchups is San Jose versus Los Angeles. I am pretty sure Kings fans are sick and tired of seeing San Jose in the first round, as are we seeing the Kings.
Yes.
Nashville versus Anaheim. Good. Anaheim would probably just lay the body in Nashville and bruise them up a little bit. And Winnipeg versus Minnesota, which actually I'm very curious about. St. Louis trails Anaheim by 2 points. Dallas trails Anaheim by 5 points for that wild card. And Calgary trails Anaheim by 9 points.
See, but how much better would this be if we went back to what it should be when it comes to playoffs? If we go back to 1-8, 2-7, what have you, because, oh my God, you'd have Nashville versus Anaheim, and isn't that a rematch of a pretty damn big series last year? So that would be great.
The current matchup is Nashville versus Anaheim, AJ.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it remains that at 1-8. But then once you dive deeper, then it's Vegas versus LA.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
That sounds really good.
Yeah,
that would be
versus Colorado.
Oh, Vegas versus LA.
I don't want to see Colorado. Colorado.
No, it wouldn't be us versus Colorado right now.
Who would it be? Us, Minnesota?
Yes. But Vegas versus Vegas versus LA would be great. I mean, that's basically what the I-10 series essentially.
I need to find a website that has like if the playoffs started tomorrow with the old system, this is what it would be. That's the website I need. And if you have that website, you can follow me on Twitter at rbackhander76. Give me all the info. I will hook you up.
And then, yeah, Winnipeg at Colorado. That could be somewhat interesting. But and then San Jose at Minnesota. But at least now that things have changed in since a week or so, because a week ago, San Jose actually would have been a traveling team in the first round. They were going to be a fifth. So this nice little streak here has catapulted them into fourth. So they'd still have home ice advantage either way. But and Chris saying, if that playoff started in 2011, this is what the matchups would be. Yeah. These would be better matchups. Let's look at it in the East real quick. So 2, 4, 6, 8. You've got Jersey and Tampa. Doesn't change much. Boston and Philly. But Columbus and Toronto instead of Boston and Toronto. And then Washington, Pittsburgh in the first round, which would be a fantastic matchup.
I don't know. I think Boston, Toronto is going to be a good one.
I think it'll be good. But again, I go back to that whole idea of that. It's silly when there are two teams that have that are playing each other. Where is it? Well, okay. It's changed slightly in the last week because of the Sharks' ridiculous streak. But you can use the East as a great example. Second and third have 102 points and 95 points. Second and third in the Metro have 90 and 89. To me, that's just unfair to have one of those two teams out in the first round. It's
not fair.
Stop it.
Sorry, can't. I have a problem.
Stop it.
The fuck, bro?
I'm telling you. So with that, I mean, is there anything else really to cover? Because it feels like we talked it all. And let's be honest, we're only like 20 minutes away from Barracuda Hockey.
Hey, now, has anybody have any questions in the chat that we need to address?
I don't know. I had to turn off the chat.
I'm still looking at it, but it kind of put your questions in the chat, but I don't see any.
So they're just sort of keeping to themselves. I'm scared to death to pull up the chat because I'm scared this damn microphone might stop working because of it. I think it's something to do with, I don't know if it's Hangouts or if it's because I have YouTube open. This is the same time I have Hangouts open, but I'm scared it'll shut that off.
Well, okay. So that being said, go catch yourself some Barracuda hockey if you can. This is
best in the world.
Right. This is Teal Town USA afternoon right now, generally after dark. Catch us on all of our social media platforms. Subscribe on iTunes, on YouTube, SoundCloud, and then all the other logos you see up there, Google Plus, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. Stitcher.
Will there be a Wheel of Fortune after dark tonight?
Oh.
I didn't think the Wheel of Fortune replay was until like Tuesday. Is that tonight?
I think it's Saturday, so I think it's tonight.
Oh, I thought it was Tuesday for some reason. I don't know. I don't know. Where is Eric to let us in on this?
He's in the chat. I see.
Oh, well, then.
Well, then he should be able to answer that question.
This is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Get on it, bro.
just upload the show to YouTube. That's what everyone does.
Oh, he has. He has. I think he I'm pretty sure he has.
Baking a pie?
No. Yeah.
For those of you who didn't see our good friend Eric Puck Guy win victoriously and beautifully on Wheel of Fortune, that you need to watch this. And this actually happened. We're not making this up. It wasn't like a fake Wheel of Fortune that we set up. He actually was on Wheel of Fortune.
Evidently tonight at 7:30 ABC.
So Puck Guy tried, but YouTube blocked it. So put on Venmo.
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised by that. That they blocked it, but
Daily Motion's pretty good about putting them.
I don't know. Should we just live stream it on Instagram Live when it's on? We'll just like point the camera in and just go.
You mean Periscope it?
Instagram Live, Periscope, either one.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you need.
So Puck Guy, get on that.
Okay. I'll watch.
Anything else? I'm like looking through the. Okay, last call for questions in the chat if you have anything. Any fun comments, anything, just what, you know what, real quick, I mean, can you give us a kind of a recap of the march today, Alex?
The march started from Santa Clara Street all the way to the park next to the SAP Center. Honestly, I am really impressed by what's happening with about the talk about gun control. Even if I think there has to be something done about gun control, there's too many school shootings that have been going on with it. It was about more or less getting the youth to get people to vote. And I'm really impressed what's going on with it. They had a bunch of people from representatives from San Diego City.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. Chester Chivo asking in the chat, where did Rocket buy exact replicas of Trump's hands?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, you noticed.
I've seen that. I've seen those. But
these are, I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you. It's the Archie McPhee. Go to Archie McPhee. It's McPhee, McPhee.com. You can buy them here. And I had to get these in the darker color because I am olive complected.
I see you.
Yeah. Okay. Continue.
But it was mostly just to raise awareness. I saw a couple of the videos from the Parkland shooting. Parkland. For the most part, that I would probably look up on YouTube and watch. If you are curious, I would definitely support a cause in your local town. Get involved in something. There's definitely a growing movement about gun control compared to, I think Parkland definitely did spark something in people. Even if you didn't think there was something, I think there's just a call to do something going on. And
it's usually the same call you hear from Sharks fans right around the trade deadline.
Maybe do not.
Something.
But
yeah.
There's already been 69 school just school shootings all across the United States. I think even if you want to turn a blind eye, just the amount you have to say is just too much right now in the United States. And it's just and if you wanted to raise a kid in the United States, not to make this political, but you have to just say this. Yeah. sorry, I live in California. I'm a Democrat. I vote for Bernie, not Hillary. But
ouch.
Yeah,
but hey, I gotta say, living in Tennessee, I will say that gun ownership is a personal choice, but I think that responsible gun ownership is sexy as hell. And if you can't, you know, like, it's like safe sex is sexy as hell. And so safe gun ownership, sexy as hell. There was a big push in the 90s to try to combat the AIDS epidemic because it was just rampant and out of control. And they needed awareness and education. And this is the same thing, but just with guns. It's a personal choice whether or not you want to own a firearm. But if you're going to do it, you need to be responsible and you need to realize that there are repercussions to your actions.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
To me, there's nothing sexier than responsible parenting.
Rawr.
That's the thing that drives me back crazy.
I'm talking
to you, Brody. No, I'm kidding.
I think we should probably look at guns as a way as the same we do as driving cars. We should probably have ways of stricter gun control. Every five or six years, you have to still get a driver's test. So I'm assuming that I think that'd be the reasonable amount of expectation.
5 or 6 years, you have to take a driver's test. What's it? No, no.
I believe so.
You mean like behind the wheel?
No, I believe it. Just not behind the wheel, but just
for the written.
The written, yeah.
No, I only took the written once, and I was 16.
All right.
I'll tell you what. Even so. All you need to get a driver's license, if you have a out-of-state driver's license and you move to Tennessee, after you establish residence in Tennessee, all you have to do is surrender your driver's license from the other state and make prove that you live here, and that's it. They don't take a vision test. They don't make you review the local or state laws insofar as driving goes. Like, that's how little it's regulated. So, I mean, in some states, driving is a lot more regulated. And there's more bureaucracy involved, but it's also safer in California, I believe. The roads are a lot safer than they are here because people just do whatever the hell they want and nobody pulls them over for anything.
All right. And with that, we're wrapping up the politics after dark. the one
cut
thing
your kids, fold your laundry, and right. Tune in to Teal Town After Dark tomorrow night after the game.
And we just want to send out thoughts and prayers to Cam Ward, who was unable to Cam Ward that bitch the other night. I mean, versus Arizona of all teams, Cam Ward, thoughts and prayers to you. It is not
thoughts
often
and prayers, Cam Ward,
that you actually skate the puck into your own net. Thoughts and prayers for you, Cam.
Man, that's a whole other conversation we're going to have on the Pucknologists.
You're not lying.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, new Pucknologist should drop tomorrow night Monday night with any luck. That's how that should work. Neves. The other thing, you can call the Shark Store from what I understand. They actually, if you're a Chichu fan, after we saw the whole Chichu retirement thing, and it was probably bad of us not to say something about Cheech after what happened today. But they evidently did have special pucks today that said official puck, but it had little 14s on there, which I thought was really cool. And I believe those were available at the Shark Store for purchase. But I know we covered this when they announced the retirement. Any final thoughts on Cheech? Anything that came to mind since we last discussed it as we put the Chichu era to bed, so to speak? It was nice to see Thornton out there today making an appearance, because obviously, if not for Jumbo, I don't think Chichu is a Richard Award recipient.
No, but the one thing I remember from Chichu was after he did the behind the legs goal past Patrick Waugh, and the Sharks eventually won that game. There was like this big rush to see that highlight because everyone thought they saw that goal, but they couldn't believe it. And it wasn't like social media where the highlights were already on the web, like 30 seconds to a minute later. And I just, there was like this buzz in the air that he actually did that. God, that was just amazing what he did.
Well, and one of the things, there was video of it that was tweeted out earlier that somebody, if you go to a Sharks game, you'll see that at least once or so during a game, they will say, you know, tonight's lucky fans sitting in section 212, row 3, seat 2, wins an autographed so-and-so jersey. Well, tonight it was they won a Chichu jersey, and Chichu delivered it.
Oh.
That was awesome. That's a memory.
That's a fan service right there.
Yeah, that's something that needs to happen every time there's some sort of retirement, whether Nolan or anybody. I mean, when Marlowe retires, I mean, that would
put him to work.
That's what I say. That's what I'm talking about. And in fact, Dan Boyle had a Q&A earlier this week, and I asked him if he saw himself coming back after, because right now he's evidently in the middle of building a new home, and he's just really into his daughters who are 11 and 9, and he just wants to be dad dude and like work on this house, which I'm sure has like the most ultimate man cave ever invented. But
not if he's got two daughters.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. He needs the escape room. He has to have that space. But I asked him, you know, look, you fast forward a couple of years when the daughter's in her high school, when the house is completed, do you see yourself coming back as a coach, a front office guy, or even in the broadcast booth? And he says, I'm not even thinking about that right now, but yeah, I could see it. And I'm like, well, then if you're not thinking about it, how can you, what?
You know, but ever since Cam Ward.
You're trying to Cam Ward this bitch?
Do it.
Oh man. Never mind. I had a thought. Whatever.
Oh, did it leave you?
It went.
It went.
It was being a bitch.
I would love Dan Boyle to replace Dave Maley with
Rusinowski. Oh god.
That would be great. Because I think Boyle has some – Boyle, to me, I think borders a little on Remenda in just that I don't think he would really care. Like, if the Sharks were playing like garbage, he would call them out. He wouldn't sit there and try to find that sliver of a silver lining just to make the front office happy or try to paint things in a pretty light way. You know, there's sometimes – when the elephant's walking by, you have to say, hey, that's an elephant. You can't just sit there and go, wow, look at how delicate that elephant is. What? No, you have to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to look at how many Sharks alumni have settled in the Bay Area since they've retired.
I think they said somewhere like 13 or 14.
And I don't know about other places outside of like Toronto, you know, Canada, where just anywhere in Canada, I think probably like hockey players that I just, in my mind, because I'm so ignorant of Canadian culture, in my mind, there's like 50 former NHLers that live in every major city in Canada across all the provinces, except for maybe like the upper territories. That's just me because I'm dumb. But like the United States is a big state, and there's only, you know, there's still only so many places where Canadians would be like, this is an acceptable place to live. Sure. Cause there's a lot of shithole places, Nashville included. So, you know, you look at places like, well, hell, Nashville. And then you look at some place like San Jose and you think about how many people have been here since 97 and how many people have been there since 91. And the difference between how many people have settled here, which is like Chris Mason and
Bueller,
maybe one other guy who's in Nashville still, and everybody else, like everybody settled in San Jose. That has to tell you something about not only the organization in its embrace of its alumni, but also the area, the weather, the economy, just the overall culture of the Bay Area that attracts so many players. And I think that's a super positive thing, especially for that particular club, but the league in general.
I mean, you're talking like what? Like Baker, mm-hmm. Rathje, Hannon, Mark Smith, Owen Nolan.
Yeah. Nolan, yeah. I mean, he's a business owner.
Yeah. Chichu.
Yep.
Is he? Yeah. No, you were talking about that. Yeah. Like he was playing abroad, but no, the family is here. Douglas Murray. Hello. I mean, yeah, he's the one behind the alumni.
He's the big one.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Joel Ward. Yeah, I meant not Cam Ward.
Well, I was going to say Ricci and Nabokov.
But yeah. I'm hoping that Joel Ward takes up the announcer booth, because I think that'd be a great addition just to diversify the booth experience. Because if you look at, across the rest of the NHL, it's practically all white. Not to throw it all out like that. Well, but
no, but that's
I don't mean to rain on your parade. If you look across the NHL, kind of the same thing.
Well, I think there's spacklings of melanin.
Not everybody can be Kevin Weeks.
No, I think that you have a really good point. That would be a good fit for him. And I think if he feels comfortable with broadcasting,
he certainly
is the dresser for it.
There'd probably be only two markets he could do it in, which would probably be Washington, since he played there, and San Jose. But mm-hmm. Washington's, it's with all those politics, I don't think you'd probably see it there. So San Jose is his best shot to get us started. Well,
and in the chat, Robin pointing out a great point. It was like, color shouldn't have anything to do with it. If you're good at your job and you can bring some that you can clearly, I cannot speak well, but if you can speak well and point out Dave Mailey, very, very nice guy. But that job does not fit him. That's just not the job for him. I'm sure there are several other ones that he is awesome at. This is just not the one for him. I'm hoping that the Sharks recognize this and in the offseason perhaps say, Mailey, we'll love to use you. Oh, Mailey, hello. There's another alumni guy, but it's kind of like, if you can fill in from time to time, that would be great, but we need to go in a different direction or something.
I would be down for that. I would be down for Joel Roy.
If Baker isn't going to return, then we need to find somebody else. And I'm trying to I remember Nolan doing a game and I thought he did a serviceable job at it. And I remember a couple of times, like even Mark Smith coming on pregame and having some interesting insight. I do wish that the Sharks, not that they're they could be interested in it and the players are just kind of like, nah, I'm good. But it would be nice if either NBCSN or the Sharks somehow worked out a deal to get the alumni a little bit more involved, whether it's on pregame or coming in and offering a third voice during the broadcast, whether it's radio or TV.
Do you think there's enough alumni on the Sharks to have an alumni game against another team? Like a Sharks alumni versus an LA Kings alumni game?
Almost. Well, I mean, the Kings, hello, they've been around like twice as long, but I get what you're saying. I think just about. I mean, not locally.
Okay, Anaheim. How's that?
There you go. That's a good comparison. I think you're almost there. Has Stewart retired?
I think he's still a free agent, but I think he's on the verge of retiring.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're going to see Brad Stewart Knight next year. And is he local? Did he stick around? I don't know. Obviously, Hannon did, and again, Smith.
Brad Stewart, did he retire?
And Josh saying replace Mailey with Douglas Murray. Murray, I don't know, has the vocal stylings that you would appreciate. I think it might be kind of like replacing six of one with half a dozen of another, bringing in
Murray.
I love Murray, but
Murray does, though. You gotta like Murray's got 10 plus on the charisma and Mailey's like 3.
So according to Wikipedia, Brad Stewart retired in 2016.
Oh,
well, clear, he must have retired as a Red Wing then or something, because he's like, that's where I got my cup. That's where I'm staying.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you can see that. I mean, for the love of God, Dan Boyle won a cup with Tampa, but retired as a Shark, because he clearly, there was something that happened between Dan Boyle and that front office, let me tell you.
I mean, he was a three-time all-star with the Sharks. So he had his
Olympic champion.
So he had his best years with the Sharks. That Tampa Bay year, that Tampa Bay Cup was remarkably lucky if you look at how they got there.
Oh, Eric's saying that Stewie retired as an Avalanche player?
Wait, what?
Evidently, even though he came back and played here. Okay, sure. But, I mean, I think we can all still agree that Stewie was never the same player after the hit from Jody Shelley, but I'll leave it at that. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question real fast. Jody Shelley, okay. Bigger bum than Ryan Reeves?
No.
On or off the ice?
Yeah. boy, that's a tough one. No, I'm still gonna go Reeves on this one.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Reeves. So with that, that's it, boys and girls. It is 5 o'clock. Time to get your CUDA on. So go enjoy that game. Once again, please do us a favor. Go check out the website, tealtownusa.com. Follow at tealtownusa on the Twitter machine. Also, same on Instagram. Go catch yourself some CUDA. Again, at rbackhander76 if you need to find the inside knowledge for the stream to catch that game. And you never know. You may very well see like Kevin Lacey and Ian Reed on this channel in about 2.5 hours doing a little CUDA after dark. Stranger things have occurred, my friend.
I look forward to that.
So that's it. We have to get it out of here. So thanks for watching. We will see you after Blackhawks Sharks on Monday night. Have a fantastic rest of your Saturday.